Welcome to Take the Forest Path podcast. This is the place for unique and creative guided meditations, as well as the exploration of various topics on the journey to our true selves and our true purpose. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Take the Forest Path podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Katerina Guzman, and today I'm here with another naturopathic doctor, Dr. Mariko Spalding. She is a licensed naturopathic doctor as well as massage therapist in Washington State. She's in the Seattle area, and she specializes in PCOS. So welcome, and is there anything you'd like us to know about you, about your practice?
Oh, thank you for having me. It's nice to be here, seeing you, and then have this opportunity. So I've been actually dealing with PCOS since when I was like 14 or something. I just didn't know that was PCOS. But all the symptoms I had, since age 14, ended up, finding that was PCOS symptoms. So that actually brought me to the naturopathic medical field and then decided, go back to school. So since PCOS is the reason why I decided to, change my life.
Yeah.
And then go back to school and then to become a naturopathic doctor. So I kind of wanted to focus on this PCOS and then other women struggling with PCOS.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a very close to home passion for you, basically.
Yes, this is the reason why I decided to become a naturopathic doctor.
Yeah, and I'm glad we're talking about this. One reason I wanted to talk to you about this was because I have a lot of people in my life who have PCOS, and so I know from them and the stories that they've told me how frustrating it is because one, as far as I know, I mean, it's a pretty recent diagnosis. I mean, before people didn't really know what it was, or maybe they thought, no, you're fine, but these people were suffering and were having symptoms, so they weren't getting the care that they needed, because we just didn't know a lot about it. But also it can be a struggle to treat is what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. A lot of people maybe don't. I mean, what I like about your approach is that from what I've talked to you about it, it's very holistic and it's very mind-body.
Mm-hmm.
Stress, gut health, toxins, we're going to talk all about that. So I'm really excited. So for all the people who don't know so much about PCOS or what it is, because I know for a lot of people, they've heard about it maybe, but they're not quite sure exactly what it entails. Maybe you could just give us a very brief kind of overview of what it is and maybe some of the symptoms. And before we get started, actually, I don't want to forget this. We are going to be talking a lot about maybe components of PCOS, what might be causing it, treatments and all of that. And I want to give a disclaimer that we are not giving any medical advice. For every single person, the underlying causes and the treatments that are appropriate for them are going to be different. And so it's very important that if you do see that you have some of these symptoms or you have been diagnosed, to make sure that you find the right doctor for you, that you feel comfortable with, someone who can actually check blood work and other, things that they need to and can see what treatments are appropriate for you, especially if you're taking other supplements or meds or if you have other underlying conditions. So that's really important. We're not giving any medical advice. We're kind of just talking about what we've seen and what we've heard and the research and all of that. So really briefly, if you could, Mariko, just kind of what PCOS is and just some of the symptoms.
Yeah, so PCOS is, the short term of polycystic ovary syndrome. Sounds like it's like a, ovarian cyst with something. But actually, that is kind of misnomer. It's a kind of PCOS is a kind of whole body disorder, and it's a lot of things are related to metabolic disorder. So it's really difficult to understand, what is the whole picture of a PCOS. So PCOS is actually, for some reason, each person has different reasons. But for some reason, androgen level, androgen means male hormone level increases, elevated one, it's gonna cause so many issues such as acne or extra hair growth, or some people start losing hair, and also some people start growing cysts in the ovary, and then also some people start having like ovulation issues, so infertility is gonna happen with that, and also kind of period happening, long time after.
Inconsistent periods. Exactly. Yeah, which is one of the most common mm-hmm. symptoms, right? Where people mm-hmm. kind of see either they miss periods mm-hmm. or they, can it also be if they have too many periods, like in like shorter periods in a row?
It's, yeah. So okay. It's like a, yeah. It's not like a periodical, you know?
Yeah.
It's
not consistent.
Mm, not consistent. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also some people are very, having difficulty losing weight. And then it's just, they just don't know how. Then it's kind of leading to the metabolic disorder.
Yeah.
It's, having some, could be having some insulin issues or mm-hmm. blood sugar issues.
Insulin and blood sugar. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I've heard of mm-hmm. the most is that insulin resistance and, which is basically issues with your blood sugar. Mm-hmm. is heavily mm-hmm. Contributing to some of these PCOS mm-hmm. diagnoses.
Right, yeah. So yeah, so it's PCOS, but mainly like people like me, I had acne issues. And then mm-hmm. when you have acne, you visit dermatologist.
Oh yeah.
Right, and then dermatologist give me medication for acne. It didn't work because that was a wrong approach. I had to deal with other things because acne's, root cause was PCOS. And then that PCOS's root cause, that was something I had to, find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it can be so frustrating because a lot of these symptoms can be from so many causes. I mean, even just people who are not able to lose weight. It gets so tricky because I think that a lot of these symptoms on their own, people might say, well, you shouldn't worry about that, or, it's something else. Mm-hmm. Just clean up your diet, right?
Right.
And for a lot of these people, they do a lot of these interventions. But if PCOS really is the root cause and they're not, and if something else is the root cause leading to PCOS and they're not targeting that, then they're still going to have symptoms, and it can be so frustrating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, so many people I heard was they had each like acne issues or extra hair growth and then such, but each time with other doctors, they gave them a specific pinpoint prescriptions for each, just acne or just hair growth or such. And then no one was actually directed to the PCOS portion.
So they were treating all the symptoms separately.
Exactly.
But they weren't doing the underlying cause. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious then, how do people even get diagnosed with PCOS? Because from what I remember, it's kind of a complicated diagnosis, right?
Yeah.
You have to get testing, certain testing and imagery, maybe? What do you do?
Right. Yeah. So there are several criteria to diagnose PCOS. So that's another kind of confusion coming into diagnosing PCOS.
Yeah.
But mainly, I think many doctors, primary care doctors, naturopathic doctors are taught to use the Rotterdam criteria. So there are three, major ones. And then some are including you need biochemical results of elevated androgens.
Mm-hmm.
But, Rotterdam criteria says either blood test or clinical symptoms of elevated androgens. And then, the sign of irregular period.
Okay.
Yeah. And then polycystic ovaries. So two of them. When you have two of them, we can diagnose as a PCOS.
Okay. Yeah, and so that is So you have to have two of the three criteria, which are one of the criteria is the blood levels of elevated androgens. Mm-hmm. The second one is imagery that shows you have cysts mm-hmm. on your ovaries. And the third one is irregular periods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm assuming a lot of people would fit into those if they got the testing and the imagery.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, yeah, I guess it's not as complicated, although, you know, getting imaging and blood work can be sort of an ordeal for sure. But do you, in your experience from what you've seen with patients, do most people who see other doctors, do they actually get the blood test and the imagery and all that? Or do they sort of just kind of take the history and maybe get the blood test and then they diagnose with them? You know?
Yeah, they
do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of assumed because I know a lot of times imaging is sort of last. They kind of leave that for last.
Yeah. And then people don't have to have polycystic ovaries to be diagnosed as PCOS. So that's why its name is a little bit tricky. You know, you don't have to have polycystic ovary to be as a, to diagnose.
To diagnose it.
Yeah, thank you.
That's interesting because of the name polycystic ovarian syndrome. You would think that that would be the first thing that, oh, if you have cysts on your ovaries, you have this. But really, you know, you're more likely to get diagnosed by the high androgen levels and the irregular period. Mm-hmm. So the history, basically, mm-hmm. symptoms, what's going on with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, I know we talked about this earlier. There are a couple what they think are underlying causes of PCOS. And the one that I've heard of more commonly is that insulin resistance. So regulating your blood sugar, not having regulated blood sugar actually, is what can really cause these cysts and the elevated androgen levels, hormone disruption and all of that. And you were telling me that there are a couple other possible underlying causes, depending on the person, right?
Mm-hmm.
What were those?
Yeah, so yeah, big one is insulin resistance, and then other one is actually the adrenal PCOS, we call. So it's the stress it's causing.
Stress. So mm-hmm. it's just high levels of stress
mm-hmm, exactly.
that can cause it. Okay.
Yeah, and then also the chronic inflammation in the body mm-hmm. can be the cause. And then if, you've been taking a hormone,
hormone replacement
birth
control?
Oral birth control pills, long time. And then you stop taking it. And then that action of stopping taking that, medication can cause like a short term of the PCOS.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. But most of the time, it's a mixture of insulin resistance and stress and inflammation. That's kind of, they walk together. Yeah.
And this makes sense, right? Because mm-hmm. we know from our training, like, for example, it's kind of like what came first, the chicken or the egg, you know? Stress can cause inflammation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So right there, inflammation can cause stress on the body. Toxins can cause inflammation. Stress can cause your body to be more like prone to damage from toxins, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Stress causes, insulin resistance.
Yeah.
And that the insulin resistance itself can be a stress to the body. It's like a full butt
It's
circle.
A circle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the insulin resistance, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about what, very briefly, like what insulin resistance is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so insulin is a kind of key enzyme to bring the glucose, like mm-hmm. sugar, into each cell. So we have to have like energy to, make our body move or going the day. So to make that energy, we need the glucose getting into the cell. But the glucose cannot get into the cell by themselves.
Yeah.
So we need insulin to help glucose to get into the cell. But somehow, each cell starts not sensing the insulin's existence. Mm-hmm. So we have insulin attaching on the cell, but glucose cannot get in. So body is like, oh, why do we have, you know, we don't have any glucose coming in. So we have to make more insulin, so that we can have sugar into the cell. So insulin levels increase very much, you know, high. And then somehow, finally, glucose kind of realize, you know, cell can, sense increase insulin there so that the glucose can enter. So just the insulin's kind of not being sensed by the body.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, and what happens with this is one, insulin production will increase, but two, our blood sugar increases, right? Because our cells aren't taking in as much glucose.
Exactly.
And that causes inflammation,
right? Yeah.
And this is, and then often what happens is that our body gets pumped of insulin and then our cells will uptake it eventually, but then we'll crash, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of, so that's when some people will feel that glucose crash, so you'll get kind of shaky, you'll get hangry, all of these symptoms that you'll feel like you have to eat. These, you might get kind of brain fog, these symptoms that a lot of us have normalized. You know, when people, so what I find is interesting is a lot of people will go around being like, yeah, I always get hangry. I used to say this, or like, oh, I'm getting kind of shaky, I need to eat. And those are actually signs that, we are having unstable blood sugar regulation. And short term, that might be okay, but it really long term, if you're not addressing that, then it can lead to so many problems. And there's some really easy things. Of course, you know, if somebody does have PCOS, like you were saying, there's probably so many other components, but just talking about being able to address insulin resistance early on, in the beginning, there's so many things we can do, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, insulin resistance is something like, you know, we can easily, you know, fixable, I don't know, fix or controllable, just knowing, you know, how to choose, you know, what kind of food to eat first so that, you know, you can, you don't have to, like, have, you know, glucose spike. Right after eating. Yeah, just so many tricks out there. But I think people are focusing on a lot to insulin resistance for PCOS. And then kind of, I feel like people are neglecting how, you know, important to focus on what stress you're having.
Yeah.
So I kind of, I wanted to, you know, have a chance to talk about that.
Let's talk about that. So like the impact of stress on PCOS and how you implement that into your treatments.
So I want to, you know, talk about one thing because when I was dealing with my own PCOS, I focused only on insulin resistance protocols. And then so my blood sugar, you know, kind of stabilized. And then I, you know, I could control very well on my blood sugar, but my PCOS symptoms, which was mainly acne, did not go away. So I was like, why? Then I learned that, you know, huge portion of my PCOS root cause was coming from stress. Yeah, so I felt, okay, so mine is maybe combination, not just insulin resistance, but stress.
And so what were some of the things that you implemented that you feel like helped you manage the stress?
Well, that's the portion I think you are very expert. So I, it took me a long time to realize. It took me like 3 years, but my main stressor was my former marriage, like my ex-husband. In the life, I was taught I should be like this, I should be like this, I shouldn't behave like this. All those things were kind of suppressing my, you know, real true self. And then I just couldn't have chance to realize that portion. But to think about PCOS and then my, you know, relationship with my stress and PCOS, I had a chance to think about what was, you know, true stress for me. And then I went to the therapist office and took a year in counseling, and then I realized, oh my God, this life with my ex-husband was my main stressor. And then I just didn't like this life. I feel like I'm so depressed. Yeah. Thinking about 30 years from now, I'm still with this guy and this kind of lifestyle. I just couldn't stand. So I felt, okay, I need some change.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that was a big thing to my life. But by realizing that and then changing that, actually improved all my symptoms. And that was surprising. Like, wow. Even though I eat crappy foods like the past, in the past I had an acne breakout right away, but now I don't have to have that symptoms coming back right away. What's that?
Thank you for sharing that story. And I know that that is such a brave thing to be able to do, is honestly to be able to like recognize when you are not happy and what it is that's causing you not to be happy, and to be able to step into something else, you know, kind of change courses in your path. Cause I mean, that's just one of the bravest things that we can do really in our life. But I also, I'm glad that you shared that too, because I do feel like a lot of people understand stress and the impact on the body, but, it's less known that like the narratives and the conditioning is what can be causing the stress. It's not just the external. I think when people think of stress, they think of external a lot of times, kind of like, oh, well, I might be just working too much, or things going on in the environment and the world, right? I mean, that's stressful, 100%. But also sometimes our choices and what we're doing just day to day, what we are actually allowing ourselves to do based off of kind of what we've been conditioned to believe we have to do, it can be the biggest stress of all, actually. And it can take a while. I mean, you said a year, you feel like it took you?
Yeah, it's total time was 3 years, you know, to actually implement the real change. Yeah, but past year of realizing what was my stress was the kind of big step. And then my symptoms improved a lot, just realizing and accept and then try to move forward.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm sure that that was a journey and a process too.
Yeah. Yeah. So that part was, I think, you know, stressors include everything, like bad food, bad air, bad, you know, environmental toxin and such. But if your immune system is strong and your mind is strong, our, you know, what's that, the defense towards obstacles to the health is strong, you know. So if you don't know the real stressor, you just cannot beat other stressors. Yeah, so that's actually the huge. And then it's so difficult in this modern life to realize and then, you know, kind of move forward to actually change. So that causes some kind of depression. And then that, you know, depression from your suppressed self is going to cause just so many things.
Yes. Yeah, that's really well said. That's my approach on burnout is really like, I know. And again, this is where I love the mind-body approach, because we completely understand, you know, we're talking about like insulin resistance, diet, environmental toxins. We might talk a bit about that. But we know that those have an impact, right? And we have research, and that it makes sense that those have an impact. But like you were saying, a lot of the mental components and again, the patterns that we are stuck in sometimes can dictate whether we're going to be able to handle these other body components. So it really is like hand in hand. It has to be a working process together. Mm-hmm. But I do think that sometimes people, even though, again, we acknowledge now more, because I feel like we have more studies on stress and how it impacts us, everybody kind of says, oh, yeah, no, I understand that. But then when it comes to treatments, a lot of times I do see people more emphasizing the body, diet, movement, supplements, medications, right? A lot more than identifying root causes of the psyche. Mm-hmm. And I also wonder, you know, I think some, it's still, one, you can't really, there aren't a lot of studies that you can do on psychological processes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone's different and it's just, you can't quantify some things. Mm-hmm. It's a very subjective experience, and science and research doesn't work on the subjective, it works on the objective. So I think it's one of those things that it's so important, but I think it might get overlooked because we just don't have these measures that we do have for insulin resistance and diet and gut bacteria even now, you know, like we're doing better at learning about that. Mm-hmm. It's so important. So I'm happy that you kind of brought that into the conversation, because I do think it's so vital.
Yeah. And then, you know, PCOS, and then, you know, PCOS study is now huge. And then I once tried to understand every single, you know, studies out there. It overwhelmed me so much. And then still, you know, it's tomorrow, it might be totally different, right?
Yeah, because research is always changing. Exactly. We're always finding new things. Mm-hmm. Studies are not, have their own issues. Studies have their own issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the other thing that I've noticed in my own life and with my clients is that a lot of what we're talking about with truly treating PCOS, like for good, not just managing symptoms, has to do with implementing lifestyle factors, mm-hmm. right? So insulin resistance, there's so many things we mentioned that you can do. So eating carbs after you eat fats and veggies and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like at the end of the meal, or just not eating them alone can help. Movement after you eat, always, you know, don't sit and watch TV. It's like you eat something and you go out for a very short walk, or you even, like, you know, you do some laundry, like some type of movement can really help. There are countless other little tips and tricks that actually can make a huge difference. But what I've noticed, and really this is very personal to me too, because I have so many examples where this happened, a lot of times it's very hard for us to implement even little things like that. And then people get frustrated and they feel a lot of shame around it, because mm-hmm. they think, what is wrong with me? Mm-hmm. My friend could do it, or this person could do it. Mm-hmm. Really, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big of a deal, but we can't do it. Like exercise, mm-hmm. you know, like we cannot, maybe we'll do it for a couple of days and then we can't get ourselves to do it. And every time I've addressed the mental that has to do with why we aren't engaging in that, then it changes and you're able. So like addressing the mental for me has always been the precursor to me actually being able to implement some of these things that really help
mm-hmm.
the physical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like PCOS is like, you know, you have to be with PCOS rest of your life. So, and then your, you know, lifestyle habit at this point kind of is causing the whole symptom.
Uh-huh.
So you need to, you know, realize what is, you know, what is doing this. So what part of thing is my stress? How come I'm gonna, you know, manage this thing? So all this little by little process gonna, you know, little tiny, tiny step, mm-hmm. will move to the next step, and then eventually you can feel like very motivated, you
yeah
know, after, okay, I got this, now I know myself more, so this time, okay, I now understand this kind of diet is helping me, this kind of exercise
yeah.
is helping me, this kind of lifestyle is helping me, and then I'm, you know, me myself is this kind of person. So how I can, you know, utilize all those things as my way, you know, with my way.
Yeah.
You know? So that is the most important thing. So you just, you know, yourself at this point, doctor tells you, okay, you gotta do this, 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 and this, 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 this. That's another stress, you know?
Yeah.
And then you feel, you just said, you just get overwhelmed, you start blaming yourself, I'm not good enough, you know, I can't even control these things, I'm gonna take this pill.
You know? So, yes.
Yeah, so I feel it's more like all, you know, like a symphony of all the things, you know, we have to deal with, you know, all the toxins out there, it's real, and yourself.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I'm hearing you say is that the path to truly healingness and to the path to your optimal health is being able to really choose all of those treatments and interventions, lifestyle things, ways that you can mitigate your stress, that you're choosing those because you want to. Exactly. And you acknowledge, one, it fits with you. You're completely on board with it mentally and physically, and you incorporate it into your lifestyle. And so many times, I run across people who are just being told, do this and that. But if a lot of times, I mean, lifestyle is a huge thing. Like there's a reason that all of us are living out our lives in a certain way right now. And even if it seems dysfunctional, we know from a nervous system and a conditioning lens that it's in a weird way, it's serving us in that moment. And if we're going to switch to something else, we are internally, we have to be convinced that that's what we want and that it's going to help us. And sometimes it really does take, you know, talking with a coach, therapist, unraveling, like, okay, what is actually keeping me stuck here? Because I want to do all these things. Like, you know, most of us, everyone wants to be healthy, right? They want to feel good. They want to be able to engage, you know, in a positive way socially. They want to have a good impact. And it's so heartbreaking because so much shame can come into when we feel like we're standing in our own way. And that's not really the case, you know. I mean, like, this is really hard, and it really just takes some help and getting to the root of the narratives. It's just like the physical, right? I mean, like, some people have to go through several doctors, several tests to figure out what is actually, you know, what's the root cause. It's the same thing with the mental. Sometimes like, it takes a while, and sometimes it's layered, and sometimes you have to find the right person, the right therapist or coach for you. I think I see a lot of people, I know we're now talking about like coaching and stuff, but you know, that's, I find a lot of people who try it once and it doesn't, and then they're like, it didn't really work. And I'm always like, no, you have to find, I know it can be frustrating, I totally know, but it's like, you have to find the person, even if it's just somebody for a little while and then you go on to someone else, like somebody, you have to, sometimes you have to shop around. And I see this with like acupuncturists, chiropractors, doctors too. Like, you know, if the first one you don't really vibe with or something's off, then, you know, find someone else who really works with you, because we're all different. We're not meant to all help everybody. Right?
Yeah. That's so true.
Like, you can find someone. That sometimes it just takes a little, you know, checking around and stuff, but I think it's worth it.
Yeah. So, you know, the PCOS protocols, it's, you know, it's important to test and then see actually, you know, biochemically what's going on.
Yeah.
But always like a root cause is coming from your mental. So that's really, really important. And then if you don't kind of, you know, focus on or realize that part, your, you know, like a surface treatment plans, it's gonna be very stressful, and then many people can't stick to it.
The part that finding something that works for you and then making it sustainable for you and sticking to it is like basically what it's all about, because it could be the best intervention in the world, but if there's something there that's preventing you from being able to step into it, but it might really be right for you, you just have to address those blocks. And that kind of reminds me. So we're talking about stress and the nervous system, and we're talking about coaching and therapy and important, you know, the importance there. But also, what about some like physical modalities like craniosacral? You do massage, mm-hmm. acupuncture, counter strain mm-hmm. is kind of a newer therapy that can really address the nervous system mm-hmm. among so many other things mm-hmm. in the body. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking those would probably be amazing too, right? Just kind of the extra mind-body component.
Right. Yeah. So I've noticed many people remember their stress with their body, you know, like hold your shoulder. It's just like a rock.
Yes.
You know?
I hold my stress in my shoulder. Exactly. How many people say that?
Exactly. And then, oh, I feel that, you know, and so just the body remembers that stress and you are carrying that stress every day like that. So massage and then those body work really can help release that stress and then, you know, make them notice, okay, this is the thing. How you feel, you know, and then mm-hmm. so that's kind of they feel sometimes clients start crying like oh my god something was released I don't know what it but something is gone, those kind of things, just the you know body can remember somehow pretty well. So craniosacral massage therapy is just a you know some touch with my hand, your hands, that's gonna, put so much impact.
Yes.
Releasing.
And also these therapies can shift you from being in fight, flight, or freeze mm-hmm. into parasympathetic mm-hmm. rest and digest mm-hmm. state. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's where you do your best healing. Mm-hmm. That's also where you're able to engage in activities that don't really have to do with survival. So all of these interventions we're talking about would be best done if you're able to, if your nervous system is able to be flexible and you're able to mm-hmm. go into that side of the parasympathetic, which is the rest and digest. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think it's so funny because one of the, I guess not funny, but I would know in my own experience that when I started to work on my nervous system and my mental health, one of the most noticeable differences I felt was that the tension in my shoulders went down. It was incredible because throughout all of my 20s, basically, I mean, I always had upper back pain and shoulder pain, neck pain. And I remember once I suddenly realized, oh my gosh, I have not had shoulder tension pain in years. And it's funny because I didn't notice it right away, right? I feel like this is most of us when we're suffering with some things that are kind of low grade, we've learned how to sort of just, you know, get through the day with them. And then suddenly one day we realized like, I don't really have this issue anymore. And for me, I definitely attributed that mm-hmm. to stress and being able to manage my stress better and finding some root causes than I did before. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not alone. I've talked to a lot of people who've also like, oh yeah, you know what? That doesn't really hurt me anymore. Mm-hmm. And I did body work too. I'm also a massage therapist. Mm-hmm. So I love body work. But definitely the mental component was huge. And that also brings me to you. You've mentioned a couple times environmental toxins. And so I think that it's great. We're talking about such a combination of the physical and the mental. And again, we're saying you can't really separate those because one leads what comes first, chicken or the egg. But environmental toxins are also so important because we know that those have increased mm-hmm. in the past, you know, decades. And we are exposed to so many environmental toxins in just our everyday life. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know. So how does that contribute to PCOS? Have they, you know, what have they talked about, or are there been any studies or anything?
Yeah, so there are many studies. Yeah, and then especially BPA is like a huge on PCOS. And then not just your exposure to the environmental toxin, but your mother, you know, when your mother was having you
womb,
and then that time if she was exposed to especially BPA, that's gonna affect you after you are having
After you're born.
Mm-hmm. So,
and BPA, that, so like what I think most of us know, so that's in plastics, mm-hmm. or it was in plastics, and a lot of plastics now say BPA free. But I remember we talked about this before, that might not mean that it's completely safe. Is that true? Even if it says BPA free?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a different kind of BPA might be in it. It's just tricky business.
Yeah, they've used another type of BPA, which doesn't have as many studies maybe. Like we don't know. Maybe in the next 20 years, they'll find out that that BPA or that form of plastic they've been using can cause a myriad of issues. That's hard. So, I mean, would you say that, I know sometimes, again, we're talking about like we use plastic every day, right? Almost everybody does. But it might be safer, especially with water bottles and stuff, to use stainless steel or glass?
Yeah, yeah. So definitely avoid a BPA, even BPA-free plastics, you know, because of that. And then, yeah, just I stick to kind of glass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have stainless steel, mostly, that's is what we've been doing. Mm-hmm. And what I've also heard is be very careful with the reusable plastic, like water bottles or just juices or whatever. Mm. And especially if they've been out in the sun. Probably don't drink those. Throw those out. Cause...
Right. Especially, the heating, you know, it's gonna...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's also like never put tea into a plastic thing. I think most people don't do that, right? But it is something, again, if you just don't know that you might, you know.
It's just this modern life. It's so hard. All the foods, you know, in the market, it's in the plastic, right?
In plastic, you're right.
Yeah, and then reheatable ones.
Yeah, the reheatable, microwavable.
It's like
has plastic.
In plastic, and then when you take out the food from the restaurant, that's in the plastic, you know.
Yeah, and then I've heard that receipts have BPA on them, so when you touch the receipt,
the skin absorbs
it which you might think, okay, but you're just touching it for a second. But can you, I mean, how often do we buy groceries or other things that you're going to get a receipt? That's where I think it's the compounding effect of so many toxins in our environment that is an issue. Like one by itself every once in a while isn't. It's that toxic load that can really be an issue.
Yeah, so women with PCOS is like, you know, it's true that we have like genetically, you know, a little bit different from other women without PCOS. So women, if you have PCOS, your gene is, you know, working as like not expelling those toxins that is kind of, you know, we are more vulnerable.
You're more vulnerable
to toxins, and then we kind of contain that, and then difficulty having expelling that one outside of the body.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. So that's important to know. So that might be even if you know you have this, it might be worth it to do a bit of research and really try to avoid some of it. Perfumes are also, right? Perfume and fragrances, and even the ones like car, what is it called, where you hang it in your your car, the scents in your car, and also the scents that you plug into the walls and stuff.
Yeah, and then the candles.
Scented candles that aren't like the natural scents. I know, it's so hard. So many body lotions from some places that are just like completely packed with unnatural fragrances. I think that once you start to sort of find one other places where you can get natural scents and natural things like that, and you just start to sort of change your mindset where you're like, okay, I'm just not gonna buy these certain things, but I can buy all of these. Once you start to kind of build a repertory, I think it gets a lot easier. Because I've noticed, like, because I think we went to naturopathic school, we were indoctrinated really early with like, no, don't, we couldn't even wear perfume on campus. Remember, it was perfume free. So that was like, okay, so I'm not going to wear that. And we learned pretty early on about a lot of the toxins and particularly the estrogen mimickers, right? In a lot of these perfumes, which can create a lot of problems, especially for men, but for women too. And so I think I just naturally, slowly pivoted to seeking out products that were natural. And now it's like, it's not hard for me at all. Not like I don't have any scents in my house that are unnatural and kind of, you know.
Yeah, same. Like, yeah. I even started my lotion, you know, by myself.
Oh, you make your lotion? Yeah, I make what? It. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Oh my God. It's great.
Well, what do you put in it? I know now we're kind
green
of
tea. Green tea and honey.
What?
That's it.
You know? Wait, so it's honey and you put hot green tea into it.
Yeah, so hot green. So I make hot green tea and then infuse like over an hour. And then so get just the tea portion, the liquid portion, and then add honey and then mix it. And then it's going to last about a week. So
oh
I keep
my
it
gosh.
In the fridge and then it's just a very fresh, you know, I can drink, I can put in my skin.
Is the honey super sticky on your skin? Do you have to wash it off or how does it work?
So honey is great because if you're dry, if your skin is dry, honey actually contains the moisture from the air. And if your, you know, skin is too wet, it just expel, you know, it's like, it's just a balance your skin.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, and then it just soaks in and you're good. And green tea is so good for your skin, right?
Mm-hmm. The antioxidant.
That's amazing.
It's always in my, you know.
Yeah, in your cupboard.
What's that? Tea container.
Yeah. You know, that's so great. I love that. I don't like the taste of green tea. Mm. So I don't drink green tea, but I would totally use it for something like that.
Yeah,
I don't need to taste it.
Yeah, there are many green teas. Many kinds of green teas, and especially I like kukicha, like a stem part of the green tea. And then so far that's gonna make the best lotion.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'll write that in the podcast captions for people. Which reminds me, actually, to kind of prep for this, I had listened to some podcasts and YouTube videos about PCOS and all that. And so I listened to a great one by Dr. Hyman, who's a functional medicine doctor who's pretty, you know, famous right now. He has some great stuff. And he mentioned that there's a website, which again, I'll link to, called ewg.org. And they have all of these guides as to where you can get cosmetics, which plastics and, you know, environmental toxins, where you find those and where you can avoid them. And EWG's guide to sunscreens. I'm looking at it right now. It's just so many tips and tricks for basically decreasing your toxic load. Because like we said, in this day and age, it's kind of impossible to eliminate it completely. But what you can do is just cut down in the areas that are easier for you. Because that can also be, this is, you know, what I've seen with a lot of people is they go overboard and they get so stressed on all of these environmental toxins, and then they try to avoid everything. And that literally adds stress to their life. So this is not about avoiding everything. You can't. It's about, you know, okay, well, I do use these perfumes or, you know, these scents a lot. So let's get an alternative. Or, you know, I'm going to get a non-plastic water bottle. Just one, you know, that's all you do. Mm-hmm. So it's just like little things. So I'll link to the EWG.org website because it looks really awesome. Mm-hmm. The Dirty Dozen Guide to Foods. Mm-hmm. So that, I think that's awesome because a lot of people, you know, organic foods are more expensive. And so they have a guide to the foods that you should get organic. And then the other foods, you don't have to, right? Mm-hmm. So you can cut costs there. Mm-hmm. I think like, you know, for me, we focus a lot on like dairy and meat products being organic and no hormones infused, or, you know, I guess I've heard sometimes with organic stuff, it can still have some hormones, but I try to like look at like no antibiotics, no hormones, you know, and I try to prioritize that and some organic vegetables. It really helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always balance is the kind of key, right? So just, you know, start researching all about the environmental toxins and such. It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming,
like so, you know, so many different kind of chemicals, new ones, old ones, and a long name, and what? So
oh my gosh,
it's
yes.
It's overwhelming, and that's going to cause another stress, you know? That's kind of, the thing. That's, you know, enough to start out.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we talked about so much, and I still feel like there's, I mean, this is such a big topic, PCOS, but I think we talked a lot about kind of the lifestyle, stress, a couple of the main underlying causes that people talk about, and some of the not so common causes that they talk about. And I'm just so happy that you were willing to sit down and talk to us about this and share some of your knowledge. Thank you so much for doing that, and your own personal experience too, which I'm sure is so helpful for people.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you for having me. You know, it's so nice that, you know, I can get this chance to talk about PCOS. Yeah, I couldn't talk well. Sorry, I'm from Japan. English is second language. It's still challenging.
No, you're you know, great.
But yeah, it's like all the, you know, throughout the experience, you know, coming from Japan and then moving to here, realizing differences and stresses and, oh, this is, you know, it was PCOS, blah, blah, blah. And then I kind of changed my life completely. And then now I even don't even live in Japan, you know. So that's kind of, you know, knowing your true self is really important to keep your health long term.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then stick to your plan or, you know, health kind of plan.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just, you know, do this, do this, do this. That's not going to work.
Yes. Yes, I love that. Like having self-agency in your health is what I feel like you're saying, which can be really hard. Sometimes we have to work up to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that you're emphasizing that for health stability and doing anything that's sustainable, you have to have that self-agency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for putting the word really nicely.
So, yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I am going to link your information in the podcast caption. So anybody who's interested in you can look on your website. Where's the best place for them to go or to contact you?
Yeah, that's my website.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Great. So we'll link that. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, they can find you. And again, you're in the Seattle area, right?
Yeah. I'm
and you do.
Kirkland. Yeah.
You're in Kirkland. Mm-hmm. And you do telehealth and in person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So yeah, anybody is struggling with this, especially because Dr. Mariko has a very holistic mind-body approach, reach out to her and I'll put all of her information down below. And thanks again for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
If you would like to try Jungian mind-body coaching to address core condition patterns and pursuit of your best life, and or are interested in my burnout recovery program, check out my website in the description box and sign up for a free discovery call to learn more. I would love to meet and talk with you about your struggles, goals, and how we can work together to accomplish your dreams. Until next time, this is your host, Katarina, owner of Forest Path Mind Body Medicine.